You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
Never filtered, always fun.
Well, apparently the Fergler back in the day tried to go for the rebuild and they said, nah. They gave him the dolphin.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
So there you go, Craig. They're kicking off SportsCenter with live looks of Austin Matthews walking into the dressing room. Leafs Jets tonight on TSN 4. I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, listen, forget about them playing against one another. When either one of them play, I want to know who's scoring during the game. I want to find out who's got a point, who's got a goal, what they're doing. I mean, quite frankly, we talk about an era in the NHL. We had, obviously Crosby's still a top-end player, and so is Ovechkin and everything. But I'll tell you this for me. Patrick Laine and Austin Matthews are must-watch TV. I want to see the highlights. I want to see everything about them. I think they're terrific.
I can't get enough. This is only the second time they've played. This should be built up as must-see TV. This is what you have to do if you're running the National Hockey League, if you're running a business. It's all about rivalries. It's all about personalities. It's all about superstardom. And these guys, you don't see this very often. 58, 59 games into their careers, they are superstars in terms of their reach, in terms of being watchable. Are they as good as Crosby? No. Are they as good as Ovechkin right now? No. Could they be in the future? I guess that's open for debate. But in terms of getting people talking, that's how you define superstardom. For me, you got to see them play.
Amen, brother.
And I'm with you, man. You've got to see these two play. And let me just build this up for years.
Well, let me add one other thing. How about all the kids now that are 8 years old, or 9 years old, or 7 years older, and now they got these two terrific players in their markets in Winnipeg and Manitoba and Ontario and Toronto.
Right.
And they want to emulate these guys now.
It's been a long time.
I mean, how awesome is that?
I remember when I was that age growing up, I had a Pavel Bure Canucks jersey. I had a Theron Fleury Flames jersey. I had a Gilmore jersey. And that was what was available. These great superstar players in Canadian markets.
Think about like Mario Lemieux, one of the greatest players that ever laced them up, right? People in his home province of Quebec didn't get to watch him. The kids didn't get to try to emulate Mario Lemieux. Mm-hmm. I mean, Gretzky TV was different. Obviously, he was playing the Stanley Cup, and it was a little bit different for Wayne. But, you know, the way social media, video, TV is consumed now, what a reach.
No kidding.
What a reach these guys can have, and I agree with you. I mean, they are, and again, I can't emphasize enough what quality people they are. You know, we've heard Mike Babcock talk about people. So, tell you what, it starts right there with those two.
Well, and another catchphrase he uses is drivetrain, and these two, you can tell they want to be great players, right? They envision being parts of Legends Row and Hall of Famers and having their jerseys retired, and that's what you need, and that's how you get lucky, man. Talent is one thing, and ultimately you need talent first. You do need talent. You need talent to be able to go first or second overall or just be drafted to the National Hockey League. You have to have that talent. But in order to go above and beyond, you need to be able to be obsessed with working hard. You hear it about Crosby all the time. You hear it about Brady all the time. Peyton Manning was famous for that. Kobe Bryant. Kobe was in the gym until midnight every night. Michael Jordan, always
Jager,
working.
We've heard about
Jaromir Jagr at 45 is still in the gym on the ice by himself. You have to have that drivetrain.
And
you know
what's interesting, too, for both of these players, and I think they're really fortunate in this respect, too, for Austin Matthews in Toronto, is that Mitch Marner's every bit as driven.
I'm with you.
And, you know, you got Mark Scheifele in Winnipeg, who's every bit as driven as Laine. So, you know, you got great role models there. You know, and I love Blake Wheeler. I think Blake Wheeler is one of the most underrated stars in the National Hockey League in terms of drivetrain. So when you're a young player coming in and, you know, you think about some of the how Austin Matthews and Marner are going to impact the next phase of young players coming in, it's going to be really, really significant.
Big time. And you're so right about the kids. I mean, we had that conversation in this market for the better part of a decade that the Leafs lost a generation. They lost a generation because the team didn't win. The general public turned on the team a lot because of the way that they played and because of the way they were operated. And they just didn't have players or personalities that matched what you would expect out of a pro team, what you saw in other markets. With all the respect to Phil Kessel and Dion Phaneuf, very good players, but not top 20 guys in the league. Not guys where you looked at them and said, wow, that's who I really want to be when I grow up. Yeah, you wanted to be a Leaf, and maybe by extent you would sit there and say, okay, I guess I want to be Phil. But this brings it to a different level. You know, there's going to be debates for kids all over this city for the next decade. Who's the better player, Matthews or Marner? Maybe throw Nylander into the mix.
Yeah.
Throw Riley into the mix. Right? And the same thing out west in Winnipeg. Same thing in Edmonton. And it's just a completely different era in the whole country.
Well,
it is. It's a whole new generation that can jump on board with teams in their own city.
And just before we bring the next guest on, I just wanted to say this quickly. I watched the Oklahoma-Golden State game. You talk about must-watch TV.
No kidding.
you know, and Steph Curry, to me, is must-watch TV. Russell Westbrook, you know, the whole thing there. I mean, I call it magnetism. And they just draw you in.
And it's the players, right?
Yep, it is.
It's the players. And it always has been the players. Yep. It always will be the players. One of those guys who was must-see TV would be Magic Johnson,
as
we know, throughout the 80s and early 90s. And big news out of L.A., because they have cleaned house. Mitch Kupchak is out. Jim Buss, co-owner of the team, is out. His sister, Jeannie Buss, said, you got to take a lap, dude. You are done, because Magic Johnson is stepping in, and he is taking over as the president of basketball operations. And to chat about that, we head to L.A. now and catch up with Arash Markazi from ESPNLA.com. Arash, take us through the reaction in L.A. Are people fired up about this? Are people concerned for any reason? How is the market of L.A. reacting to the news from today?
I think they're generally happy, because they weren't happy with the job that Jim Buss was doing or the job that Mitch Kupchak was doing. Obviously, Magic Johnson is one of their heroes. He's one of the greatest players of all time. He has a statue in front of Staples Center. So they're happy to see him back. But, you know, they're kind of cautiously optimistic, because, you know, they've never seen him in a GM role, because he's never had the GM job before. And again, that's another part of the story that hasn't really been talked about a lot, is that he won't be the day-to-day GM. He will hire someone to do that job in the next week or so. But right now, he probably will be handling that, as we're 2 days away from the trade deadline. So he's the one who's calling up GMs around the league, trying to see if there's a deal to be made out there. But he's jumping headfirst into this job.
Well, that's dangerous, though, isn't it? I mean, the timing is very intriguing, because you're 2 days away from the trade deadline. The Lakers are obviously a disaster of a team in terms of what they're expecting this year. They're building towards the future. They're building through the draft. And if he's not really aware of what's going on league-wide in terms of the X's and O's, could he potentially step into a blunder over the next 48 hours?
My guess is no, in the sense that I don't think they're going to make a blockbuster deal. I think Lou Williams will be dealt. I think he's just a really good player that could help a playoff contending team. He's not going to really help the Lakers out. I would expect Lou Williams to be dealt, potentially Nick Young as well. But I don't see right now a package being put in place for them to ship off a lot of their young players. That's something that I think he's going to wait for the new GM to do. But again, you know, I mean, he's generally familiar, you know, with the team, with the league, and the other GMs around the league. You know, because the interesting thing is, when you think about it, you know, Magic Johnson, when he wants to do a deal with Charlotte, he's going to be calling up Michael Jordan. If he wants to do a deal with the Indianapolis Pacers, he's calling up Larry Bird. So, you know, he knows a lot of these guys around the league. But I wouldn't expect a blockbuster move by this team.
You bring up Larry Bird, and we all know how big the Bird Magic rivalry was, the Celtics Lakers back in the day. And you know Larry's been entrenched now. I wouldn't say that anybody would consider the relationship that Larry and Magic had as warm and cozy, but I don't think it would be adversarial either. Do you think there's any sense that Magic would turn to somebody like Larry Bird and ask for his advice as he moved into this role, and what he could glean from him?
Oh, 100%. I definitely think he's probably had those conversations in the past. I know this is not the first time he's been approached by a team about having a role like this. And for whatever reason in the past, he's not accepted those roles. But I have no doubt that he has called up Michael Jordan, talked to Jerry West, talked to, you know, like other former players about that transition into becoming a GM. But, I think this is a job that he's always wanted with the Lakers. And now that he has it, he said that, you know, he's totally focused on this job, because, as you guys know, you know, within the past few years, he's become part owner of the Dodgers, part owner of the Sparks, part owner of like a soccer team. So, you know, he has his hand in a lot of different areas, but he has said that now that he has this job, he's 100% focused on this one team.
With Arash Markazi from ESPNLA.com, Magic Johnson in L.A. taking over the basketball operations. Mitch Kupchak is out, and Jim Buss is out. Jim Buss, of course, being the brother of Jeannie Buss, and I believe he's got some co-ownership titles going as well, and he gets kicked out of his job. How did he handle this news, and is there any potential for infighting within the Buss family?
So we haven't talked to him, but you know, when Dr. Jerry Buss, the owner of the team, passed away, he put the team in a trust and it went to his six children, and the six children each have an equal vote and equal ownership stake in the team. So while Jeannie Buss, you know, kind of pulled the trigger on this move, this is a very kind of awkward situation for the family, as you just touched on, because this wasn't solely a Jeannie Buss move at the end of the day. I think every member of the family probably had a say in this, and they decided that, listen, by the way, Jim put the timetable on himself. You know, I think 3 years ago he said, if I can't turn this thing around in 3 years, then I shouldn't be in this role. And, you know, when you look at the Lakers, how they've performed and how they've played over the past 3 years, he hasn't done the job. And so I think at the end of the day, she felt it was time to move on, but certainly an awkward position when you have to tell your brother you're still a part owner, obviously, but you can no longer continue in your current job.
Now, would she have had any discussions with Phil?
Phil Jackson?
Well, you know what? The interesting thing is the Magic Jeannie partnership began when Magic Johnson found out about the Phil Jackson Jeannie breakup. Phil, I think, tweeted out the statement, and Jeannie did as well. So Magic just called up Jeannie to kind of see how she was doing, and Jeannie essentially said, you want to go out and get something to eat? They did. And during the course of that conversation and that meal that they had that night, this kind of plan was hatched. So it's kind of interesting that while Phil Jackson is obviously not a part of the team and won't be, their breakup and Magic's phone call, you know, just to see how she's doing, was how this whole plan began.
Do you think, I just want to go back, do you think before the breakup, do you think there was any consideration by Jeannie that maybe bringing Phil back into the fold would be a consideration?
No, for sure. I definitely think, you know, before that breakup, that had always been a conversation that people were having within the team and within the league that, you know, at some point that just makes sense that they're engaged, you know, they want to live together, they want to get married, and that was always the thought that that would happen at some point. And then when they broke up was really the first time people said, okay, what's the next move? Because, I mean, that was always thought to be the next move, that Phil at some point would come back to the team. And listen, not just because of who he is, but listen, they were engaged and they were going to be together. So that just made sense. But it's very interesting that that was the moment that plan ended and plan B began to take shape.
This is like an episode of Modern Family. I mean, all these different connections to different people. Oh, yeah. And I mean, it's Hollywood after all, but the Lakers have kind of become the Western version of the Knicks. I mean, the Knicks are dysfunctional, the Knicks don't win much, and the Lakers, we know what's happened with them over the past few years, and they're towards the bottom of the league. They're right there, I think third last in the NBA based on the standings. How long before we could expect this team to turn the corner? I mean, would Magic Johnson, did he place a date on when he expects to get this team back to prominence?
He did not. I think he learned from Jim's mistake not to put a timeline or time frame on himself. I will say this. The one thing Jeannie kept hearing from other people within the league is that they don't really trust the kind of core of Jim Buss and Mitch Kupchak to turn this team around. So when they would go into these pitch meetings, a lot of players are around the league who are looking to say, where am I going to sign for the next 6 years or whatever? They didn't believe that the duo of Jim Buss and Mitch Kupchak were the right team. Now, you know, if Magic Johnson is in place and he hires a GM that he likes, her belief is maybe that tandem will have more success, because I think that's been the biggest kind of surprise in this whole situation. It says that the Los Angeles Lakers have not been able to attract a big name free agent. You know, that's like saying the Yankees or the Cowboys or whatever, like they can't even sign a big name guy. And to be honest, guys, last season they weren't even getting a meeting with big name guys. Like, it was just a non-factor. So she's hoping that will change.
Well, for his sake and Lakers fans' sake, I hope that it does. Really appreciate the details and the breakdown. Thank you for this, Arash.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, listen, Magic Johnson is beloved by a lot of different people, not just Laker fans. And when you consider what's happened with his life, I mean, he contracted HIV in 1991, and he's still a prominent member of the sports world and bigger-than-life personality. I hope it works out. I hope he is fully committed, because that's what's needed. This team is a disaster right now.
Let me ask you this question. So we have a real significant player, Hall of Fame player, and Magic Johnson taking over. He's had some, as Arash talked about, he's had some experience with teams, being part owner, being, you know, obviously you invest money, you get involved in these things, you take an interest in what they're doing.
Sure.
Is there and now he's talking about him not being a full-time general manager. Is there any similarities to Brendan Shanahan coming here to Toronto? I mean, I know Brendan didn't have the ties to the Toronto Maple Leafs, but in terms of, I'm going to oversee this thing.
I think that's what you're hoping for, right? Yeah. Like, we broke this down in the 4 p.m. hour. The guy who comes to mind, like the legend that went back to his former team or just returned to the game and won the ultimate prize, is John Elway. Elway went back to the Broncos. They went to back-to-back Super Bowls, or they went to two Super Bowls, they won a Super Bowl. I mean, everything that he has done, everything he has touched for the most part in Denver has worked out brilliantly. But then there are guys on the other end of the spectrum, like Phil Jackson.
Yep.
It's been a disaster in New York. Joe Sakic has not worked in Colorado. That's a legend of that team, and let's be honest, he's been there long enough to have his fingerprints all over that team, and they're the worst team in the league by a country mile.
Right.
You hope it's on the Elway Shanahan end of things, because I think Shanahan's done a great job. I think he's done a very good job here. And I do get the impression that he was fully committed from day one. He didn't make a big statement when he showed up. He just rolled up his sleeves and said, we got a lot of work to do here, and he did it. I think the jury's still out on whether or not Magic is willing to fully commit, you know, and has the ability to turn this thing around. Because there are a lot of similarities between the Lakers, the Knicks, the Maple Leafs. I mean, these are heritage, original, great, great teams, great markets that have really dropped to the bottom of the standings.
Well, you heard Mike Babcock, when he got hired here as coach, he talked about, we'll be able to attract the players from here that want to come and play here. And you heard that, you just heard Arash talk about Jeannie Buss. The concern is they couldn't attract people to come and play in L.A., and that does become
Isn't
a concern
amazing?
In a big market. It is amazing.
Los Angeles Lakers couldn't get a meeting with Kevin Durant and with LeBron and with Carmelo Anthony. These guys are like, no, we're not going there. You're a mess.
Yep.
And that's really what defines the way the sports world works. If you're a winning team, they'll listen to you.
They sure will.
No matter where you are, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Milwaukee. If you're winning, I'll give you a meeting. I'm not going to definitely sign with you, but I'll give you a meeting.
Golden State.
But if you're a disaster on the court, on the ice, on the pitch, whatever, I don't care if you're in L.A., New York, Vegas, Miami, I'm not listening. I don't have interest in playing for a losing team. Bob McKenzie, your TSN Hockey Insider, will join us in studio. We'll tee up the Leafs-Jets game tonight. We'll get back into our poll question as well. And the O-Dog will hop back in. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Can't find McKenzie. We don't know where Bob is. Maybe he's producing the Bobcast right now. Maybe he's got bigger and better things to do. I don't know.
Maybe he's a guest on Duffy's podcast.
My understanding is James had the boys in the back room no more than an hour ago working on that podcast.
It's amazing when the TV people come into radio. They just say, get out of here, watch out, coming through, hold my guitar.
So Lester was in.
Yeah.
The guitar.
Lester
was
needs
in.
To be part of it. I hope he's part of trade deadline.
I'm sure he will be.
Yeah. He is every year.
But remember last year at free agency, he wasn't part of it? I was shocked.
Well, let's get him involved here.
Yeah, Lester.
Start a GoFundMe.
Hashtag we need Lester.
Are you getting nervous at all about trade deadline and the amount of material that could be available for you guys?
I'm not getting nervous.
You guys will figure it out.
One thing I learned a long time ago, Brian, is that, I mean, there's volumes and volumes of information, and you're not going to use it all, right? And really, you know, there's talk and discussions, but really you're talking about the same players over and over again and leading into it. So there's no surprises. And if there is a surprise, that means it's probably a big thing and it won't be hard to talk about something big.
I hope that happens. But you're right. You don't see that very often at trade deadline.
Well,
you do in the summer.
It's becoming more painful year after year because the players are getting locked up long term. If you go from trade center lists of 10 to 15 years ago and compare it to the one that's been flopped out this year, it's miles.
Well, Michael Stone was number 5 on the TSN trade bait board. Now, I'm not here to disparage Michael Stone, but you look at the trade bait board, like what you're basically getting is a 2018 third round draft pick for Michael Stone. There's no bait there. It's like you don't get to eat today. You cast and you can eat next year. That's when you get to eat.
Are you convinced Kevin Shattenkirk is getting traded?
No, I'm not.
No, me neither.
No, I'm not.
Why would they? I mean, they're starting to roll now. He's a big part of their team.
Yeah, I was talking to Kevin Allen of the USA Today yesterday, and we were talking about the difference between the attitude in hockey and the attitude in football. And the attitude in hockey, you can't let them go for nothing. Well, why not? You're getting cap room. Mm-hmm. You know what? You're making the playoffs, you know, winning some games, maybe getting to the second round, whatever matters. So who cares if you don't get something? In the NFL, they just go, okay, it's part of it, but he says it's the way it's viewed.
You're so right, Craig.
The NFL fan looks at it and goes, that's no big deal. You got to get something. Really?
You're totally right. I mean, that for whatever reason, has not been embraced here.
No.
It's not been embraced in the NHL, where you always have to get something in return. What people forget is you are getting something significant in return. You're getting cap space that you will fill with other players. So when Shattenkirk leaves and that $5 million or whatever becomes available, that's either one pretty good player or two quality players that you're adding to your lineup.
And let me add one thing to that. With the cap not going up, like the cap space now becomes even more valuable.
Big time. Flexibility allows you for more trades, allows for three-way deals, allows you to bring in other teams' pieces and potentially throw in draft picks on top of it if you have that kind of flexibility. I've been saying for a while, the NHL is morphing into the NFL day by day. It's a young man's league. Draft picks are more valuable today than they ever have been, just like the NFL. But that's the one thing that hasn't quite changed, is the approach to the cap space.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It's the one thing that, for whatever reason, if you were to trade a guy like Brooks Like, you know, who's not even a part of the team right now, people would say, well, you got to try to get something for him if you can. Why? If someone's willing to take the cap space off you, what are you waiting for?
I had an exchange last week with somebody about Ben Smith. Like, really? You need to get something for Ben Smith? When they lost Seth Griffith on waiver, they should have got what?
Yeah, that's not exactly. It's not the way it works. Bob McKenzie in studio, and the Hockey Insider is brought to you by Finance It. What's happening, Bob?
Better late than never.
Good to have you here, buddy.
Oh, this thing's falling apart, baby.
Bob, never is never good.
There we go.
Anytime you're available, Bob. The door's open. You know that.
Sorry about that, boys.
All good, man. And we were just talking about the value of cap space, like the Kevin Shattenkirk situation, where, you know, the mentality in the hockey world has always been, well, you got to get something for that guy, as opposed to acknowledging that when he leaves, you're getting his cap space. Like, you are getting something if he walks, right? Yep. But that mentality hasn't completely been accepted.
No, that's a baseball. That's something that baseball figured out a long time ago. And hockey's been slow to adapt to, but they're starting, I think, to realize that, especially since we're talking about flat cap projections coming here. So things are going to get tighter and tighter, and that cap space is going to be that much more valuable, that just getting cap space is going to be the return on a deal.
Right. Opens up so many doors.
Yep.
Right? And you got to trust your kids, too. I mean, that's another thing. At some point, you got to throw kids into the lineup and... I mean, in St. Louis, even if Shattenkirk walks, they've still got Parayko, they got Pietrangelo, they got Bouwmeester. Still got some pretty good pieces on the back end.
And they have some prospects coming, too. You know, teams now back to the draft, there's prospects coming as well.
But that's, you know, that's why I'll be interested to see. The people are saying, well, it's a weak draft this year. Okay, fair enough. So I'm more inclined, if I'm a team, The theory is you should be more inclined to give up your first-round pick. Fair enough. I get that relative to recent years. But you know what? You know, those draft picks are like gold now because they're currency.
Right.
Because when you're in a jam and you can't sign people and you have to let people go to free agency and let them walk out the door for nothing, if you can have a guy come in on an entry-level contract that effectively replaces that person. And the thing we're seeing now with 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old kids is they're not just in your lineup. They're a big, big part of it.
So, Bob, you've seen a lot of drafts over the years. I mean, do you think we get these comments on a draft like this year because the last two drafts,
yeah,
specifically one and two, were so special?
Absolutely, for sure. And this year it seems like there's a lot of question marks, a lot of guys injured, a lot of guys, you know.
There's a lot of them going down now.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of guys, you know, Nolan Patrick missed most of the first half of the season. Timothy Liljegren missed most of the first half of the season, somebody just had an ACL injury. They're out for
Jake Lecision. Tippett's out with, he's got an upper body injury.
Yeah, so it's been,
Michael
there's
Rasmussen's
been a lot of those.
Been out.
Yeah, there's been a lot of those ones this year, so it's hard to know. If you draft well and you got kids coming. I mean, they're St. Louis, Barbashev is in their lineup now and everybody's raving about him. So, okay, so you got Barbashev, Berglund. We can't afford them.
Right.
So whether they trade them or not remains to be seen, but you got to keep bringing those kids along and replacing. And so to your point, Parayko came out of nowhere, it seemed, to be a real good player for them. So they're looking at it and saying, we got to pay Parayko, so see you later, Kevin Shattenkirk. Not a chance in the world we're going to be able to keep you.
Well, last year's draft will be on display tonight. Leafs Jets on TSN 4, Matthews taking on Laine. And whenever these two meet, and it's only twice a year, and tonight is the second time, the call of the race is going to heat up and the conversation around it. And I was reading a piece this morning, and people were tweeting about it earlier today, about how deep the conversation actually gets when you consider who you're going to vote for. Is it as simple as who's got the most points and who's
Could
got
be.
The most goals?
Well, for a lot of the voters, it will be.
Would you expect that? Like, it won't be deeper than that? What position, who their line mates are, the core seat numbers?
There'll be some of that goes on, but, members of the Professional Hockey Writers Association will vote. And, right now, it's crazy tight. It's a dead heat. Who's kidding who? Like, you can make a case easily for either guy. And
there's no such thing as co-winners, right?
No. Shouldn't be. It could happen. Conceivably, if the points were to come out, but there's too many tiebreakers, for first place votes. I would be amazing to see a dead heat on that front. But right now, it's like they got the same number of goals. Laine's got three more points, but he's played in four fewer games. And then the Leaf fans are going to jump up. Well, yeah, he gets to play with Scheifele, and he's in more opportunistic situations offensively and
scored empty net goals.
But Gretzky used to score a lot of empty net goals. You know why he scored a lot of empty net goals? Because he was out there protecting a one goal lead.
Right.
When he scored that empty net goal to get his hat trick last week, Paul Maurice made a point of saying after the game, he wasn't out there to get his hat trick. He was out there because he earned the right by the way he was playing. And his game's changed. I talked to Paul Maurice about this. He said a half a dozen games before he got his concussion in January, and every game since he's come back, he's a different player than the one who played in October, November, and December. Much more committed defensively, much more physical, stronger on the puck, much more dimension in terms of short passes, nifty plays. We saw that on Sunday, the backhand play off the wall to Scheifele for an assist. He's really elevated his play. Since in the last 12 games he's played, since he's come back from injury, he and Jamie Benn have more points than any players in the National Hockey League. So it's going to be interesting, the stretch run here. And Craig, maybe you can talk to this a little bit. Laine's a true 18-year-old. Mm-hmm. Matthews is a 19-year-old. And if you know how Austin Matthews and the U.S. under-18 program, how they train, they're in the weight room a lot. Like, that's a pro-style environment. And when he went to Switzerland, I'm sure he did a lot of work, too. He's a physically mature 19-year-old. This is not a teenage kid that hasn't found his physical range yet. He's going to get stronger. He's going to get better. Talk to the guys in Winnipeg, and they go, Patrick Laine, if he's lifted a weight before this year, it'll be news to them. And he's a big guy. And he's got some natural strength, but he's not even, that extra year, 18 to 19, makes a huge difference in development.
No question. I mean, no question. And he's got that in front of him.
Patrick has that in front of him. Do you sense he's got any nastiness in his game? Like, Matthews doesn't. He's very timid. He's not timid, but he's not a guy
I think he's got a little snarl. I think not a huge amount, but I think he's going to pace people. We've already started to see it. We did the game on Sunday against Ottawa, and on the forecheck, he went in and he really pounded somebody into the wall. And so that's not going to be the primary part of his game. But I think down the stretch here, you're going to see him elevate his play and get a lot more physical and be a lot better defensively. I know Paul Maurice said in the early going, they didn't coach him at all. What they realized, special player. We don't want to mess with him. So, like this, because he had Paul Maurice as a coach. So
he did that quite often. Go ahead, sir.
So he said that if he toe-dragged it and lost it, and they went down and they scored in the Jets' net, which apparently happened. They never said a word to him. They just, you know what, just leave him alone. Let's not screw up an 18-year-old kid's confidence because this kid is special. So let's just let him play his game. And what they've noticed recently is he was like a sponge, and now he started on his own to be a lot more committed and realize the things you can and can't do and where not to give up the puck and that sort of thing.
Do you think, and we were just talking earlier about Blake Wheeler. I think Blake Wheeler is one of the most underrated players. Do you think having a player like him around really helped?
Huge. Yeah. Huge. I think he's one of the great mentors. I think he's one of the great captains in the league.
Yeah, I'm with you, Bob.
I talked about that. One of the questions on my podcast earlier this season, somebody asked me, do you have a favorite player in the NHL? And I said, I got a bunch of them, but one of the guys who I really, really, really like the way he plays, the way he carries himself on and off the ice, how he handles young players, how he competes on the ice, how the things he says off the ice, just everything about him, Blake Wheeler for me is tremendous. And the funny thing is, he kind of started his career as, you know, he had the ability to make himself a free agent. So he did the Jimmy Vesey long before Jimmy Vesey did Jimmy Vesey.
Right.
And that is, he was drafted by Phoenix Coyotes, fifth overall, and blew them off to sign with the Boston Bruins.
And that was when Gretzky was there.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't just, right? He blew off Gretzky.
Yeah. And so, and a lot of times, that sort of move gets you the label. You know, Justin Schultz got it. Jimmy Vesey gets it, and you make a lot of enemies. And he's managed to skate right by all of that. And I love the way Wheeler plays. I think he's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm with you. And you know, in fairness, you know, Rick Dudley was in Atlanta when he made the trade with Boston to get Blake Wheeler. Yeah. So Rick Dudley deserves a lot of credit for Blake Wheeler being with the Winnipeg Jets.
Yep.
Circling back on that nasty topic, in terms of Matthews, he's not a guy. He's not overly abrasive on the ice. He's not a guy that's looking for a scrum.
Sooner or later, though, he's just going to beat the piss out of somebody.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, though. Does he have it in him? Does he have to have it in him? I mean, it's a very different era now.
Different game. But I don't think he needs necessarily. You got to take care. If you're getting abused, you got to handle yourself. And I don't think that'll be a problem. I think he's really competitive. So it would be different if he was like what you call a finesse player, but he plays a power game.
Right.
He plays a hard power game. So he's going to be in the thick of things. He's going to get his nose dirty. So I don't even think that part of it becomes an issue. And if the Leafs think he's taking undue,
punishment,
then they'll take care of that.
Well, I mean, you look at Sid. Sid's probably had seven or eight fights throughout his career, because every once in a while he just snaps. He says, "I'm fighting." And McDavid's got that same gene in him. McDavid every once in a while loses.
Max Domi.
Just lay one guy out.
You think anybody wants to fight Max Domi now? No.
How many fights did Peter Forsberg have? But Peter Forsberg did it in a different way, right? Yeah. Like how he would assert himself.
Yeah, absolutely. He might have had a few fights, but you have to look it up on hockeyfights.com. But he had a good stick, too. And that was in an era when guys like that, the stick was a great equalizer, too.
Well, I kind of get the impression like Marner's one of those guys. Like every once in a while, I could see him getting suspended because he just hacked some guy one night. He seems like he's got a little bit. He's got the OHL Dale Hunter.
He's really competitive.
Yeah, very
he's
competitive.
A really competitive kid. Yeah. I mean, you know, and it's funny. It's like Matthews. It's Line A. It's Matthews. It's Line A. And
there's Mitch Marner.
If Marner wasn't injured right now, he still might be leading the rookies in points. He's not going to have as many goals as them, so he'll suffer in that comparison. But I, you know, before the season began, people asked me, who do you think will win the Rookie of the Year? I said Marner. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he will. It's going to be hard against those two guys. But, you know, and there's guys like what Zach Werenski's doing as a 19-year-old defenseman for a really good Columbus team is off the charts.
Well, and it's a perfect segue. We got a poll question up today, Bob, and it's hypothetical. I'm sure you love that. But asking Leaf fans if they could add one of these rookies to the Maple Leafs roster, which one would they take? Patrick Laine, Zach Werenski, or Matt Murray? 53% of votes saying Zach Werenski, which
that's leading.
53% of people, like you and I both said Laine. We took Laine.
I'd say Werenski simply because of need.
Right.
Simply because he's exactly what the Toronto Maple Leafs need. And as good as Laine is, and as much of a star as he's going to be, you've got this huge perceived weakness on defense. Werenski would take care of that.
Well, he would. Are you taking off? Yeah, you got things
to
do.
I got to take off, yeah.
All right, Craig. Thanks for popping in, buddy.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure.
Good seeing you.
I was going to say one thing, too, about Mitch Marner. Could you see Mitch Marner going Phil Kessel on John Scott?
Yes, I could.
I could see Mitch doing that
one night.
Like, you know, it's just, I've had enough.
I could totally see that. Don't push my buttons. Yeah. Well, that line of thinking, Bob, is exactly what the majority of people are voting. I mean, we've got almost 4,000 votes.
Smart voters.
I guess, man. And I'm not surprised by that. Werenski's a great young player, but Laine's got superstars.
But you're right, Laine is a superstar.
It's tough. You can't go wrong either way, I guess. Matt Murray was the third option.
Yeah.
11% of the vote coming in for Matt Murray.
Yeah. That's a vote of confidence for Freddie Anderson.
Right. People love Freddie Anderson. And Matt Murray, I mean, he's another guy he doesn't get talked a lot about. And
no,
look at his numbers
now. It's crazy. Kachuk in Calgary, he's had a great year. Mm-hmm. Nylander, still a good rookie. And Murray. You know, Murray's going to be the goalie on the all-rookie team, and I know Pittsburgh fans get upset when you don't mention him in the top grouping, but it's the same. The Washington Post called me up to do a story. They're doing something on, you know, will Nick Backstrom get any heart consideration? And I said, yeah, not that it's what I would call serious, because nobody's getting by McDavid, Burns, and Crosby as the top three mm-hmm. on anybody's list, and you might throw Dubnyk in the next group, but Backstrom's right in that 4-5-6 wheelhouse the year he's having, but it won't matter, because if Burns and McDavid and Crosby keep doing what they're going to do, there's your three finalists.
Right.
Take your winner from one of them.
No, it's interesting. I mean, you don't even – Backstrom's such a great player, and he doesn't get enough credit. He doesn't get talked about a lot, because when you talk of Washington, you talk of Ovechkin, clearly. But, I mean, he's having a borderline Hall of Fame career himself.
Oh, the points that guy has per game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
ridiculous.
You know, and him and Scheifele are right there in the top five or six in scoring now. So.
Right.
But the one thing he has against him that people talk about is, like, he's a great player, but can you win a championship with him as your 1A guy?
Well, they've got a great shot this year, don't you think? I mean, they're.
How many years have we said that?
They've been saying it for five or six anyway. All right, boys. Enjoy the panel tonight.
Your camera if you're going solo here?
Well, I know exactly where I'm looking. I'm prepared. I got a lot of hot takes.
You got some hot takes?
Oh, yeah. Make sure you tune in on your way down. Yeah, I'm ready to go. I got the gasoline, the lighter, the whole nine. All right, boys. Good seeing you.
Give us one little preview of a hot take.
Why Edwin Encarnacion? Nah, I can't even tease it.
Why he speaks English all of a sudden?
That was what I was going to say.
Okay, never mind. It was baseball. I'm leaving.
Yeah, you're out. All right, boys. We'll see you guys later. Bob McKenzie, the Hockey Insider, is brought to you by Finance It. Monthly payment plans for big dreams and everyday budgets. The panel tonight, Leafs Jets on TSN4. The O-Dog, Bob McKenzie, James Duthie.
We'll chat tomorrow.
4 p.m., buddy. I'll wrap this bad boy up next. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Under the number, Ottawa jersey tonight. This could be an ugly game. I'm fully anticipating that it will be. And Noodles is down there calling it. It's not going to be good. I'll take the Rangers at home against Montreal. Montreal continues to have their issues, and I think that will continue at the Garden tonight. And I'll take the Kings to roll into Colorado and pick up a win. Throw down 20, and you can score $70. You can find my picks on Twitter, at TSN1050 Radio, and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, event info, matchup stats on your phone. ProLine, get way into the game. Magic Johnson. Running the show in L.A., and I hope it works for him. Obviously, he's a bigger-than-life personality. He's a guy who's got a story on the court and off the court. He's as big as it gets in L.A. I just hope he's fully committed to it. I hope for his sake. I mean, the Lakers, they've had a lot of success over the past 20, 30, 40, 50 years. I don't really necessarily care about them and what they do on the court or their fan base, for that matter. But it is better when the most prominent big market, huge brand teams actually have success. When the Knicks are winning, when the Celtics are winning, when the Bulls are winning, when the Lakers are winning, when the Leafs and the Habs and the Rangers and the Blackhawks and the Bruins are winning. Yankees, Red Sox, Cubs, Dodgers. I mean, that's what makes the sporting world so great. And I hope he's fully committed. And that's my only concern is obviously he's not qualified because he hasn't been in this role before. But he has a business portfolio that is very extensive. He's got a lot of businesses. He's got a lot of money floating around in different spots, and you know he's going to continue to pay attention to it. So he said the right things today in terms of being fully invested in this current Lakers project. I just wonder, will that be the case long term? Zach Lowe actually had an interesting scoop on his podcast today. He threw out the rumor that he had been hearing that Masai actually went and kicked tires on Boogie Cousins, offering allegedly Jonas Valanciunas in a first-rounder. I'm not sure I buy it. And even Zach Lowe said he's not sure he buys it either. Masai has put a lot of faith in chemistry. And Cousins brings a lot of baggage. I'm not sure he would actually follow through on that. All right, let's get to our Overdrive 3 Stars of the Day brought to you by Babsox.
Overdrive 3 Stars of the Day.
All right, Wayne Shaw, the 46-year-old keeper from Sutton who was caught eating a meat pie on the sideline and had to resign as a result because some bookie over there in the UK placed 8-1 odds on him being actually seen eating during the game. And it turns out he was aware of the odds, and now they're concerned about insider trading. That is my spirit animal over there in the UK. Third star goes to Wayne Shaw. Second star, Craig Button, who stepped up big time in a bind today because Jonas Siegel had to pull the chute. And the first star, I'll throw it to Magic Johnson for taking over this new role in L.A. I hope it works out for him, and we'll see where it all goes. Overdrive 3 Stars of the Day is brought to you by Babsox. Add a little grit to your wardrobe with hockey's greatest game day ritual. Pull up your Babsox and support the team. We're out of here. Mullen gets a shout-out, too, on his birthday. Almost forgot you, buddy. I threw it in there. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m. We'll chat then.